All right, Brother Corey.
Good. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, again, we want to thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and study your word. Be with Jim this evening as he preaches the word. May we open our ears to hear your word. May we open our eyes so that we read your word. And may we open our hearts so that it transforms our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Who wants to come up here and read this for me, 11, 1 through 7, in the Amplified Bible? Anybody want to volunteer or want me to? All right. Thank you. 11, 1 through 7.
Pattern after me, follow my example, as I imitate and follow Christ, the Messiah. I appreciate and commend you because you always remember me in everything and keep firm possession of the traditions, the substance of my instructions, just as I have verbally passed them on to you. But I want you to know and realize that Christ is the head of every man. The head of a woman is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Any man who prays or prophesies, that is, teaches, refutes, reproves, admonishes, and comforts, with his head covered, dishonors his head, Christ. And any woman who publicly prays or prophesies, which is teaches, refutes, reproves, admonishes, or comforts, when she is bareheaded, dishonors her head, which is her husband, it is the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman will not wear a head covering, then she should cut off her hair too. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her head shorn or shaven, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to wear anything on his head in church, for he is the image and reflected glory of God. That is, his function of government reflects the majesty of divine rule. But woman is the expression of man's glory, majesty, preeminence. Which is in Genesis 1:26.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Now we're up to where we're going to start right now. It's not talking about head covering, is it? Not talking about physical covering, is it? What's it talking about?
Head of the house, the boss.
The head of the house. A man, if he's going to be a leader in a church, has to be the head of his home. A woman, if she's going to be a teacher, even over children, she needs to recognize that her husband is the head of the home. If she is not going to do that, then she can just sit down and shut up and just not do anything. Yeah. That's, well, this is by inspiration through the Apostle Paul, okay? And that's not negotiable, is it? Is the Word of God negotiable? It just isn't negotiable. That's where we are, Brother David. 11 and verse 8 now, we continue on to veil or not to veil number 2. All right? The veil or not to veil number 2. Ugar, Esten, Aner, Ek, Ganokos, Ala, Gane, Ek, Andros. For not he is man out of woman, but woman out of man. If you go back to Genesis, I forgot my book. I forgot my Hebrew book. I had to set it out at home and I didn't bring it. But I think I can remember. So go to Genesis anyway. I went and forgot it. Genesis 1 and verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image, and our image according to our likeness. Alright? God said, man, let us make man. Now this is the triune God speaking here. This is Elohim, okay? Let us make man in our image. What constitutes God? The Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Which one is physical? Huh? The Son. Which one is spiritual? Both of them. Both of them. But the soul corresponding to man, who is it? The soul. The Father. In soul resides your mind, your memory, and all that. And how about spirit? God made man in his physical image? Okay? his shadow casting, his blood flowing likeness. Brother John, you remember when you studied that from Hebrew? We taught that from Hebrew. And he just accepted it before, but when he could actually explain it to somebody else, when you looked at the Hebrew, it was a whole lot different, wasn't it, Brother John? This is wonderful. All right? In our image, according to our likeness. And let them, all right, rule over the fish of the sea. Now, prophetically, he said, let them. Because what was going to happen? That he would divide man. He made man in one body, okay? And in that man was woman and man, okay? In our likeness, let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over all the cattle and over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God made man in his own image. He created him male and female. He created them. All right? Now, Genesis, the second chapter. Verse 15. And the Lord God. Now, here we have Jehovah Elohim. This isn't just Elohim. Now, this is Jehovah Elohim. When we see the word Jehovah in any part of the Bible, what are we reminded of in the name Jehovah? First of all, what does Jehovah mean? He who shall become. All right. What are we talking about when we talk about Jehovah Elohim? We're talking about the covenant God, the Redeemer God, the Redeemer. Because when we have the term Jehovah, we know that is Jesus. Okay? We know it's Jesus. Because He's the one that would become our Redeemer. He was the one to become our kinsman Redeemer. Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. He put him to work right off the bat. And the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, commanded man, saying, from every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will begin the process of dying. Dying you shall die. And Jehovah Elohim said, it is not good for the man to be alone, and I will make him a helper worthy of him. Worthy of him. I will make him a helper worthy of him. I see you smiling, Brother Bill.
First and only mistake God made.
Verse number 19 now. And out of the ground, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever man called the living creature, that was his name. And the man gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of the sky, all the wing flappers. In Lakota, it's almost the same word. It's wamble. Wamble. To every beast of the field, for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him or worthy of him. Okay? Worthy. Girls, remember that, worthy. This is really important for girls. Okay? So the Lord God hypnotized Adam. And he slept. Adam slept, and he took of his sides. And he took out of his sides, and he closed up the fleshes in the places of her. That's what it says in Hebrew. He took out of his side, he took her out of his sides, and he closed up the fleshes in the places of her. That's what it says in Hebrew. Okay? And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the bone and the flesh and the blood which he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called out of man, Isha, because she was taken out of man. And then he made a prophetic statement. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now this is, he didn't know anything about marriage. He had never had a kid yet or anything, and he made this prophetic statement. Okay? He made this prophetic statement. Now, go back into 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 8. For not he is man out of woman, but the woman out of man. Who was created first and who was put over everything? Adam. Adam. Okay? Adam. What does Adam mean? It means mankind, the human race. Okay? Who was the head of the human race at this time? One man, Adam. All right? God put Adam to sleep, and he took out of Adam, he took and made and fashioned into woman. And women are really pretty, aren't they? Men? They're pretty, pretty creatures. They're the crowning glory of God's creation. That's right. He took the pest part of man and he made a woman. All right? And women are stronger than men, aren't they?
Absolutely.
They are. They live longer. They do. All right? They work harder. They do. All of those things. But what difference does it matter? What difference? What happened? Let's go to Genesis 3rd chapter now. Genesis chapter 3. And verse 1. And the Wenahush, and the serpent became more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Jehovah Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, who said unto the woman? Who's speaking? Who's speaking here? Satan through the snake, or Nahash. All right? Nahash means deceiving serpent. And he said to the woman, Nahash said to the woman, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden, from any tree. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree, trees of the garden, we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you begin the process of dying. Now, I've heard people say, well, she added to the Word of God or whatever. I'm going to tell you something. They might have talked about this a lot. We don't have revealed in the Word of God every word that was spoken, do we? No, we don't. So maybe Adam did tell her this. Okay? Maybe Adam said, yeah, God said we will not eat from it nor touch it. Stay away from it. It's verboten. Forbidden. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat from your eyes will be opened and you will be like gods, knowing good from evil. And of course the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a light to her eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, and she took from its fruit and she ate. Where was Adam? Adam's job was to watch over, to guard all of this stuff. Where was Adam when all of this had happened? Probably not far off. But he wasn't paying attention to what he was doing, was he? What he was supposed to be doing. He what? That's probably what he was doing. I believe that. Something was going on. He was doing something that he wasn't supposed to be doing, and she was doing something she wasn't supposed to be doing. But Adam was responsible for what she was doing. Not Eve. Adam was responsible. Okay? Adam is responsible for what Eve did here. It's Adam's fault. Okay? And God held him responsible for it because he's the head. He was the head of the family then, and of course he's still the head of the family. And she gave also her husband. Actually, what it says in Hebrew, she took and she kept on eating. And she kept on eating and gorging herself. This was so good it had to be See's candy. Or a chocolate German cake or something. It had to be some sort of chocolate there. I don't know. Chocolate drops hanging off that tree. Okay? Anyway, she just kept on eating and she kept on eating and she kept on eating and she kept on eating. Imperfect tense. Now, Sharon, you know what the imperfect tense is, don't you? Because we looked at it and when she took the Hebrew classes. And some of you do. Who takes Hebrew here? John does. He's not in the class, but he's in the class. Brother Roger, you know what the imperfect tense is. They kept on eating. They kept on gorging themselves. They were bottomless pits. They robbed the whole tree of everything that was on it. They just kept on eating. And she kept on giving to her husband, and he kept on eating. and the eyes of them were both opened up, and they knew that they had become naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves breeches. They made themselves loincloths. Now before they were clothed in the glory of God, and now the glory of God has departed. And they heard the sound of Jehovah Elohim. Pay attention now, Jehovah Elohim. This is the covenant God. This is the Redeemer God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his woman hid themselves from the presence of the Jehovah Elohim among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I became afraid, because I became naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman which you gave me." It's your fault, God. It's your fault. This is what we call blame shifting, and every person in the world does it. You never want to take responsibility for your own problems. You won't take responsibilities for your own sins. The humanity is that way. We like to blame it off on somebody else. When you fail in something, it's somebody else's fault. Somebody else did it. Somebody caused you to fail. When you sin, somebody else caused you to sin. And the man said, "The woman that you gave to me, she gave me from the tree and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, now he approaches the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me." The deceiving serpent, he deceived me, he kept on deceiving me, and I kept on eating. And Jehovah Elohim said to the serpent, now he went to the man because the man is responsible for the whole planet. I'm not so sure he wasn't responsible for the stars in heaven. Adam was over the creation of God. Lucifer was over the creation of God before. Now man is, okay? And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Cursed you are more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall walk, and in the dust of the earth you shall eat all the days of your life." Verse number 15 is a very, very important verse in the Bible. First of all, he curses the serpent. Then he curses the seed of the serpent, which is going to be what? What's going to be the seed of the serpent? Huh? The Antichrist. The Antichrist. In other words, Satan is going to have sexual intercourse with some woman someday and going to bring forth a false Messiah. He's going to do it. He said, "I will put enmity, active hatred between you and the woman, and between your seed," the Antichrist, "and her seed," Jesus Christ, "and you shall bruise him as, or, and he shall bruise you as to the head, a death-dealing blow, but you shall bruise him as to the heel, a crippling blow." And then now he went to the serpent. Now he goes to the woman, and he talks to her. And to the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth." In other words, you're going to really have problems in childbirth. In a lot of places in the world today, 20% of the women that give birth to children die. Did you know that? 20% of the women that give birth to children die. In England, during the Dark Ages, they had hospitals. Did you know that? If a woman went to a hospital to have a child, she was 50% more chance of dying than if she had one at home. Do you want me to say that again? If a woman went to the hospital to have a child in France and England or whatever, she had a 50% more chance of dying than if she had it at home. Why? Because the doctors were going from one woman, one patient to the other back in those period of times, and they did not wash their hands, and they passed germs from one to the other, and a lot of people died from infections. In a lot of places in the world today, still women die. It's very painful. How many of you women have children? Anybody have children? It was a wonderful, glorious thing. Hurts a lot, doesn't it? Back in the old days, back when I was young, if your wife was pregnant, you worried where she's going to live or not. Brother Dick, is that happened back in those days, isn't it? Yeah. You didn't know whether she's going to make it or not. Now, if she gets pregnant, 99% of the chance she's going to live here. I had a friend of mine that one of his daughters got pregnant. She had a child. The child lived, but she died. It still happens. Still, it's dangerous to have children for women. All right? I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your pain and your vulnerability in childbirth. And in pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. That is part of the curse to women. Women, you need to be subject to your husbands. That's part of the curse of God. And women fight the curse, don't they? Bill, you can say something now. Do women fight the curse? Do they fight the curse? Is it very plain in the Bible? Is there any negotiation here in the Bible? All right. Now, if a woman's single, she doesn't have anybody she answers to except to God. But if she's married, she's going to answer to her husband. Then Adam said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. Listen to this, Bill. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife.
I've been
24/7. Oh, well, listen. Because you have listened to the voice of wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying you shall eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. Cursed is the ground because of you. Man cursed the ground. That's why we have sickers and goat heads. And how many of you stepped on a goat head this week? Well, feel good, doesn't it? Especially in the house when you drag one in on your shoes and you get out there in the middle of the night and you're walking across the floor and, boy, right in the heel or right in the toe or something. And it feels like it's a two-by-four went through your foot. And those terrible little old sand burrs, oh, they're terrible. All kinds of stickers, stinging nettles. All of this was because of what Adam did. And in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it will grow because of you. And you shall eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your nostrils. You shall eat your food till you turn to the ground. Till you turn to the ground. Because from the same elements you were taken, and to dust you shall become. Now the man called his wife's name Living. Boy, talk about faith. Adam had some faith. She should have been dying. He should have called his wife dying because she now, because of the woman, he listened to the woman, all of the people are going to die, aren't they? But he didn't call her dying, did he? He called her living. Why? Because he believed that she would have the Messiah, which would give them eternal life. So this is a statement of faith. And the Lord God and Jehovah Elohim made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. A Buddhist, when they see this in the Word of God, they said, we don't want to have anything to do with that God. When those people over there, Hindus. Hindus are vegetarians. They don't want to kill an animal. Matter of fact, over there, they won't even kill a louse or a fly or anything. They just let them buzz around them. Because they figure that might be Uncle George that died and come back, you know. They believe in the transmigration of souls. And sometimes if you're real bad in this life, you might become a louse in the next one. A real louse. If you're a louse in this life, you can become a real one in the next life. The Lord God said, behold, man has become one of us, looking, knowing good and evil. God had to kill those animals and prepare that hide for them. So those animals had to die. Something innocent had to die for something guilty. And Lord God, He said, let us, man is knowing good and evil, and now let us stretch out His hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever in the fallen state. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. Same elements as he was taken, basically. Verse number 24. And he drove out of the man out of the east of the garden. And he stationed a cherubim. What is a cherubim? Cherubim. Basically, it's two angels. Two angels with wings. These are cherubim right here. Say cherubim. It's always in the plural, im, on the end of it, because there's two of them. Witnesses is what they are. The old man out of the garden, he set stationed cherubim, and the flaming swords which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Now look what happens here in verse number 4, chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the man had a sexual relationship with his wife, Eve, Hava. Say Hava. Hava. That means living one. She is living one because she is going to give life to others. She's going to bring life forth from her. And she conceived and gave birth to Gotham. Cain means Gotham. Write down Gotham. That's what it means, Gotham. And she said, I have Gotham. A man-child, Et Jehovah. What does that Et mean there, brother?
Sign
of the erect copy, that's all. I have gotten a man, Et. Even, yes. Jehovah. She thought she had given birth to the Messiah. And then what does this guy do? He murders his brother. He becomes a murderer. He's not the Messiah, but he's a murderer. So they're very disappointed. Now this is the history of the human race. Sounds like Paul's Valley, doesn't it? Killing each other. The woman came out of man. The man didn't come out of the woman. 11 verse 9 now. Tai, gar, uk, ektiste, aner, dia, tain, geneka, ala, gene, dia, ton, andra. For indeed, or yes, not he was created man because or out of woman. Why was the woman created? Why was woman created? That this beautiful woman. Why are they created? Why
take
were
care
they
of
created?
Man.
Huh?
Take care of man.
To please man. Make him happy. To be his partner. All right? To be recipient of his pleasure. That's why woman did. What God created woman to be pleasurable to him and to be a companion to him. All right? Now, the woman didn't have anything to do with that, did she? No, God did it. He was created man. Not he was created man because of the woman, but the woman because of the man. Woman was created for the pleasure and fellowship and companionship of man. Man was created in the image of God, and woman was created in the image of man. I want you to get that. Man was created in the image of God, and woman was created in the image of man. Man is a primary creation of God. He came from the same elements as the dust of the ground, so he would be related to it. Because God knew he would sin, and God knew that he was going to send a Messiah related to the ground and to all the other physical, material universe and to the human race. And through that Redeemer, kinsman Redeemer, all of this would be brought back to him. But the woman was created in the image of man. And when, how many of you have studied Hebrew with me? Hands up. So sometime it's going to be firsthand. Brother John, you've been through the whole Old Testament with me, all the way up to the end of the book of Genesis so far. When God presented Eve to the man, what did he say? What did man say when God created woman out of man and gave her back to him? What did man say?
He said, "Oh man, let's negotiate on this price."
Adam says, my footprint, according to my pattern, my footprint. She looks like me, she walks like me, she lays down tracks like me. All the other animals didn't look like Adam, did they? But this woman, out of man, she is his image. She leaves footprints just like he does. He said, my foot track. You remember, Brother John, my foot track. That's a beautiful statement, my foot track. My fingerprints. She's like me. So God created woman like man. And he created man in his image and woman like man. Secondarily, woman is in the image of God. Okay? 11 and verse number 10. Diatuto. Athele. Hei gene. Exousion. Ekane, epites, kaphale, diatus, angelus. Because of this, she should, the woman, to understand that the man has sovereignty over her. That the man has sovereignty over her. Sovereignty, what does sovereignty mean? Sovereignty. What does sovereignty mean?
Total reign.
Total reign. I didn't say this now. Don't you women get mad at me, okay? This is the Word of God now. All right? This is it. This is by inspiration. Genesis 6 and 1, Genesis 1, 26, the 3 and 4 and 1. All these are cross-references. 1 Corinthians 4 and 9, Psalm 138 and verse 1, Isaiah 6 and 2, 1 Timothy 2 and 10. Genesis 6 and 1. Because of this, she ought to the woman to have she ought to allow the man to have sovereignty over her, upon her head. Because of the angels. Angels are present in worship to God. I said down here, angels present in the worship would be shocked at the conduct of women, since the angels veil their faces in the presence of Jehovah. Isaiah 6 and 2. A.T. Robertson said that. A woman's long hair is a veil over her. Okay? Over her head. A woman's long hair is a veil over her. But if a woman will not subject herself to her husband, let her shave her head. Let her be bald and look like a prostitute. Remember, we talked about that a little bit last week. This is the hard stuff, isn't it? This isn't maybe stuff. This is real stuff. If a woman will not submit to her husband, let her be a prostitute. Let her look just like a prostitute. Now, that's a rough statement. How many of you women would like to look at yourselves as a prostitute? No, that's not very good, is it? But if you don't subject yourself to your husband, if you got one. See, some of you don't. So you're real lucky, see. Maybe. You don't have a man over you. You don't have to be subject to him. If you did, you would be. Over the head of her because of the angels. Isaiah 6 and 2. Let's go back there. Isaiah 6 and 2. That's in the Old Testament, isn't it? Isaiah? Isaiah 6 and 2. Isaiah 6:2. And seraphim stood above him, and each having six wings, with two and he covered his face, and two covered his feet, and with two he flew. We're talking about Isaiah's vision here. And I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, lofty and exalted, with a train of his robe filling the temple. And the seraphim, there's another order of angels, seraphim. There is cherubim, and now we have seraphim. What does seraphim mean? What does seraphim mean? Seraphim. Probably, seraphim are shining ones. Shining ones. Shining. It means to flame, to shine. It means to glow. It means light. They are great light carriers. They are shining ones. Fiery ones. All right, fiery ones, seraphim. Now, these are high angels. Now, these are high and powerful angels. Seraphim. On the end of it, what does it mean? Plural. All right, there are more than one. The seraphim stood above him. Each had six wings, and two he covered his face, and two he covered his feet. They are doing what? They are honoring God by covering. By saying, Lord, we do obeisance to you in your presence. And one called out to another saying, Holy, holy is the Lord God. Jehovah Sabaoth is what it's talking about, the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is filled full of his glory. And the fountains of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. All right, now these are angels. Now, do they respect God? Do they cover? Are they in sovereign? Are they in subjection to Jehovah God? Jehovah Sabaoth, are they in subjection to Him? Yes. The order is God, man, and woman, and children. That's the way it is. God, man, woman, children. That's the order in the Christian family. In the world out there, you know what's going on in the world right now? The family is out of order, and we have chaos and disorder. We have chaos and disorder. Now, in the rest of the world, the biggest place that there is chaos and disorder in the whole world is one nation. You know what nation that is? With a home? America. America has bit the dust when it comes to the family. They have bit the dust. Why, even those people over in Iran got it straighter than we do. Just think about that for a while. Just think about it. The women over there, they honor their husbands, don't they? If they don't honor their husbands, what happened to them? They lose their head. They won't have to cover their head because they won't have one. All right? They demand that. They do believe this book. Did you know they do? They do believe this book. Now, the Mormon culture is a cult, isn't it? But the Mormon women honor their husbands. They got it right to that extent. In China, the women honor their husbands. In Japan, the women honor their husbands. In every nation in the world, nearly, down in Mexico, South America, wherever you go, outside of America, what happened here that went wrong? We take the Bible, and we say we believe it, but we don't practice it. That's what it is. And it is a shame when false religion has got it righter than we do in practice. Because we don't believe the Bible. We don't believe it, we don't practice it. Alright? If you believe it, you practice it. Genesis 6:1, what do we have there? This is what's going to happen in the end times. Genesis 6:1. We got started late today. Genesis 6:1. Ahem. Now it came about when men began to multiply on the faces of all the land that the daughters were born to them, and the sons of God, and the sons of God here is talking about what? Angels. Saw the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives of themselves, whomever they chose. Then the Lord said, I am not going to strive with man forever. I am going to kill everybody in 120 years. Because the Nephilim became upon the earth in those days and also afterward, and the sons of God come into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were mighty men. These were monstrosities. These were giants. Men of gigantic stature and renown. The angels were out of order. And who did the angels go to when they got out of order? Where did they go? Brother Bill, where did they go? Where did the angels go when they got out of order? Human women. That's right. Human women. That's where they went. Human women. And they got some of the women to go with them. What happened in the garden? Same story. But here, they cohabited with them. In the garden, she was deceived. Now these women are cohabiting with fallen angels. Okay? 6 and verse 11. Let's go on here a little bit further. We'll get this and get moving. Plain. Ute. Gene. Chorus. Andros. Ute. Aner. Choris. Ganekos. En. Kiryu. Nevertheless, neither woman without man, nor a man without woman in the Lord. In other words, each man, each woman and each man have volition, and they have will. God is not going to force a woman to follow Him, and He's not going to force a man to follow Him. But they will suffer the consequences that they don't follow Him. And everybody who is equal in the sight of the Lord, there are women in families that are saved and men are not. Women, when you look for a husband, find a saved one that will be a leader of your home. Because how is God going to bless your home if you don't find a saved leader in the home? Because He is the head of your home. Don't make that mistake to begin right off the bat. Don't pick the wrong one. You hear that, Doris? You've been here now. All right. Hosper, Gar, Hey, Gene, Ek, Tu, Andros, Hutos, Kai, Ho, Aner, Dia, Teis, Ganekos, Ta, De, Panta, Ek, Tu, Thiu. For as the woman out of the man, so also the man through the agency of the woman, all things, but to all out of the gods. A woman by the name of Ella Broadus Robertson, which was John A. Broadus' daughter, had married A.T. Robertson. She wrote a book, The Fine Art of Womanhood. Every woman ought to read something like that, The Fine Art of Womanhood. Verse number 13. In himen, altos, trinate, prepon, esten, gonaco, Akatakal lipton. To you. Proshukaste. Ye among yourselves ye judge fitting, worthy. Alright? And it's present indicative also. Is the woman not unveiled to the God to pray? I'll read this to you here quickly. Never listen to the plan of the Lord from His point of view in verse number 11. A woman is not apart from the independent of a man, nor is a man aloft from the independent of the woman, or independent of the woman. For as woman was made from man, even so man is also born of woman. And all, whether male or female, go forth from God as their author. Verse number 13 now. Consider for yourselves, is it proper and decent according to your customs for a woman to offer prayer to God publicly with her head uncovered when she is out of subjection in the home? Should a woman lead out in prayer in any service, if she is out of subjection in her home, if she will not be subject to her husband, should she? No. That's the answer. Verse number 14. Ute. Ute, that is. Hei Thesis. Alte. Didoske. Himas. Hote. Amer. Man. Ion. Koma. Atinia. Alto. Esten. Doesn't even nature herself teaches you, continue to teach you that man, indeed, if he behaves like a woman, if he takes the role in the home as a woman, okay? That's what it means. We get the word koma there. Koma means to dress. Koma, we got a word comb. What do you do with a comb? Women comb their hair with it. Men comb their hair with combs. And women used to use combs to decorate their hair. How many women have used combs to decorate your hair? Okay? And you try to make yourself look like a woman, if you're a woman. Okay? But now the man starts looking like cross-dressing and looking like a woman. Okay? This is it. He's in trouble. If he behaves like a woman, he dishonors to him, it is. Dishonor to him itself. Nature. Out in nature. Animals. A rooster acts like a rooster and a hen acts like a hen. Doesn't it? A bull acts like a bull and a cow acts like a cow. That's the way it is. 11 to verse 15. Gine. De. Ion. Koma. Doxa. Alte. Esten. Hote. Hei koma. Ante. Para. Bo. Lio. Didote. Alte. But woman, if she behaves or styles herself like a man, because a long, the head of long hair, or to dress your hair like a woman instead, a veil that has been given to her. 14:15. Does not experience, common sense, reason, and the native sense of propriety itself teach you that for a woman to wear long hair is a, for a man to wear long hair is a dishonor, humiliation, degrading to him? And it's not talking about hair, is it? Really? He is dressing like a woman, looking like a woman. But if a woman has long hair, it is an ornament and glory, for her hair is given to her for a covering, as a veil. Her hair is given to her as a veil. And if she subjects herself in the Christian home like she should, it's honorable. If not, what? Shave her head like Bill back there. Let her look like a prostitute. Let her, if she's going to act like a prostitute, let her look like a prostitute. Verse number 16, that's where we're going to end. What?
Does she look like a hooker?
A-day-tees.
A-day-tees.
Okay.
We're all...
What? I'm going to... How much will you give me, Bill, if I don't give this tape to your wife? A-day-tees, okay. Philanatos. N-A. He mouse. Toyotane. Sin S-A-C. Thate Theon. Uk. Ekoman. Ude. He. Ecclesiae. Tu Thew. End of subject. Moreover, but if anyone, he thinks, and he likes the love of fighting, he loves to be contentious to be, we don't have any such conceitudo. We don't have such intimacy. Not, we have neither the churches of the Lord, belonging to the Lord, the churches, the bride. The bride of the Christ is the church, isn't it? The bride of Christ is the church. And the bride of Christ should be subject to her husband, shouldn't she? If she's not subject to her husband, she is not his bride. As simple as that. If a church will not act like God has written down in His Word, then she's not his bride. As simple as that. He will not take her as a bride. She is a harlot. If she wants to act like a harlot, she can be like a harlot, because she'll be forever away from her husband. Even though she's religious, even though she has services, she does everything like the world looks at it, but if she is not faithful to the Lord, then she is not his. All right. We'll start in 11 and verse 17 next week. So tonight we went from 11:8. A lot in that. If you don't go back in the Old Testament and study what the Old Testament says about the New Testament, you can't unravel the New Testament. As simple as that. You just can't unravel it. All right. Remember me tomorrow as I officiate at this memorial service for my friend Gary. It's the last thing in the world I can do for him, and it is pestering. It has just driven me crazy. All night long I preach. I believe I have lived every moment of our lives since he died Sunday. I didn't sleep Sunday night. I thought about him all night Saturday night. Didn't sleep. Sunday he died. I didn't sleep Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And here it is Wednesday, and I got to do that memorial service tomorrow. And I've hardly had any. I don't think I've had 4 hours sleep in the whole week. Worrying about if I'll do the right things and say the right words for him tomorrow. There's going to be a lot of people that are lost there. This will be a great way, a great time to preach the Word of God. And I hope that the Spirit of God is with me, and I know that His Word will not return unto Him void. But pray that things go smooth. Please pray that things go smooth. That is the desire of my heart. Brother John, would you mind coming up here and dismissing us in prayer, brother? Thank all of you for taking part. Michelle, thank you for coming up and reading for me tonight. I appreciate that. They don't have to look at me all the time. They can see what our students look like, including Brother John.
Shall we pray? Father, we do indeed thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord, as it's been given to us tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can learn from it, that we're learners of you. May we grow closer to you, Lord, in our lives. For your word, Lord, will never depart and it will remain. We thank you, Lord, for all you provided for us. We ask your blessing on our time together. We pray for Brother Jim, that he might minister your word to those tomorrow, that you will receive honor and glory. And we give you praise in all things in Christ's name. Amen.